Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good idea to have a clinic there. We have seen, which is what we were hoping for, we have seen an increase in the number of vulnerable young people seeking help and advice. And, I mean, it is interesting, as I said, that often those vulnerable young people don't seem to think that they're ill, so they don't ever come to a clinic because they think they've got an infection or anything. But if you pursue them, so Lauren, you know, we teach quite a lot of sex education. No, I'm not bothered. In fact, yes, they are often bothered, but they don't often have the skills or the competence to be able to come and get help. Vulnerable young people often can't talk the talk. But if they come to you on a one-to-one basis or with their best mates, then they will. They'll open up. You get them in a classroom, they're horrendous sometimes. You get them in a clinic and they suddenly find that, you know, you're quite useful to them. I had a young lad who came in, and he was excluded from all schools, and he came in quite bolshy, and he said to me, "I think you look like a granny." And I said, "I am a granny. I've got 8 grandchildren." And he said, "Oh," and I was his best friend after that. And it is interesting, you know, that sometimes people think, you know, perhaps you're too old to be doing this job. But in fact, sometimes young people find it's quite comfortable to be talking to somebody older. So young people who are vulnerable do find some clinical situations very difficult. They are embarrassed and they don't cope very well. Ooh. Now, Ali's just going to talk about an innovative idea that she's had and is working towards.
Hello, Fifth Ed, I'm Ali Menzies. I'm one of the school nurses at Walter Owen Care and Health, based in Bath. And this is a project that's part of an MSc programme that I'm doing at the moment. So it's in the development stages. So really I just want to talk to you about why I did it in the first place. Within our school nursing team, one of our team members is seconded 2 days a week to work within the youth offending team to address their health needs of young offenders. And I was lucky enough for a year to be able to cover somebody who was going to do their specialist community public health nursing course. And within that year, I was asked to see many girls and boys actually for offering the clinic in a box for special health services. One girl came along to see me at what I call her KC. She was a 15-year-old girl and she had just been given a yacht order and actually was new to the youth offending team. And at the time I was seeing every person that came within the yacht team. And so I didn't really know very much about her, and she wanted to get some advice about contraception. She didn't know what she wanted, but she knew she wanted something. But she was at that point having sex with somebody. So I sat and spent a long time with her going through each method of contraception, clearly and carefully, and we went through the pill. Was she going to remember that? We went through DEHO, no, she didn't like injections. We went through intrauterine devices. Oh, no, that's too much. She didn't want the implants. She didn't really know what she wanted, but she didn't. She just wanted something quick, easy. But she had real issues with remembering and memory skills and things like that. So at the end of it, I said to her, "What do you think? Which method do you think you might like?" And she went, "Actually, I'm going to speak to my mum." So the following week, I arranged for my mum to come in. But at that moment, all I had with me were the Family Planning Association leaflets to give her extra information, which obviously they are fine. There's nothing wrong with Family Planning Association leaflets. But for her, it turns out she had quite a significant speech and language difficulty and she could hardly read. So she would not have even opened the leaflet, yet let alone read it, but get somebody to explain the information to her. So I quickly designed some of my own leaflets with very minimal text, maximum images, just to sort of plug that gap, really. There are resources out there for people with learning disabilities, but they are highly appropriate for young vulnerable people who are looking at street cred, that sort of thing. So there's a real gap. So I designed the leaflet, but then very quickly realised that an app was the way forward because they all have their phones glued to them. So that's really why I did it. So then I started looking into it, and actually I was horrified to hear that a minimum of 65, once I started Gregory and Brian, say 65% of young offenders have language difficulties, and many with a reading age below the age of criminal responsibility of 10 years old. Some studies actually say this is as high as 90%. So if you are working with young offenders, then it is highly likely that they have issues with speech, language and communication. So what do I actually mean by that? So let's have a little think very quickly of exactly what we're doing right now. We all take communication for granted, but I'm assuming all of you can hear me and you're listening. I'd like to think you're all listening and that you are understanding what I say. And you are then processing what I say. You're then linking what I say with other information you might know about in offenders or contraception. And then if I ask a question, you would be able to understand that question, to find the right words to use, construct a sentence, and then reply using your own sort of non-verbal skills and social skills. If you have any problems in any of those little chains, then you are going to have difficulty understanding quite complicated contraception information. So it is a real issue. So the other reason why it's so important to actually get the message of contraception over to young people in a way they can understand is that if you just take young offenders as a client group, and this research is for young offenders, but I'm very aware that eventually this app will be in the App Store, it will be in Google Play Store, and it will be accessible to all young people. So you could think of it as a broad group of vulnerable young people, but actually all young people, don't you all just want contraception information that's going to be easy to read, easy to understand, and easy to access? So the other reason why it's so important, particularly for young offenders, is they typically are a group that have low academic achievement. Their attendance is usually poor, so they have big gaps in their sexual health knowledge because they probably missed PSHE listed lessons. Very likely that haven't been in school for those lessons, and they also have a high level of speech and language difficulty. So there's two reasons why this app is so important. So what did I do about it? So as I said, this is in the development stage, consultation phase. This is actually design number two at the moment. So I went and I now work with an app and website developer, and I went on with my little bits of paper and I showed him my ideas, literally drawn on a piece of paper, and said, can you please turn this into something that looks good? And so before I went, I'd already decided that I wanted to have these bits in the app. So the first bit, they would click on choices, and that would give them all the different methods of contraception. And it would shown in a very, very simple way. So minimal text, maximum images. So they would click on, for example, the progesterone only pill. So we decided to have an image of the pill. This is what your contraception looks like. And then for young people who really struggle with reading or just have auditory learners, we are going to be having a video which they would press play, and then a PowerPoint presentation would come across one sentence at a time with somebody doing a voiceover. I did lots of research about what the voiceover should sound like, and I've picked somebody from Scarborough. So if anybody from Scarborough, that's supposed to be the perfect accent, approachable, friendly, and easy to understand. So she's a girl who's at one of my secondary schools, so she's done it for me. So they would press play, and it would say things like, it's 99% effective, or you have to remember to take it every day. So it'd be the good things and the things that I have to think about. Then it would be the alarm would be bing, it's time to take your pill, which there are many apps out there that do that already. But it also, you will be able to put in the app when the depo is due. So, for example, ping, you've got to make an appointment to go and see your school nurse, but we'll always keep records of those. I mean, remind them anyway, but just in case they wanted to use that. And then the help bit would be, oh dear, I've had unprotected sex, I don't know what to do. So they would, it would also show them that the nearest sexual health clinic where they can go and get the emergency hormone contraception. And also, oh, I've missed my pill, I can't remember what the nurse said, but actually, if I go on this app, that will tell me exactly what to do. And then the last bit is the it sounds like the quiz sounds a bit fun. Well, yes, it is fun, but the first level is the important bits that we as school nurses need. For us to actually administer contraception, we have to make sure that we follow the phrase of guidelines and the young person's phrase of condom. So we've got to make sure that they understand what we're saying. So the level one of the quiz will be all the questions that we ask them to make sure that they've understood. And then the rest of the levels will be, you know, hard and hard, but just for the fun. So they could, you know, compete with their friends and that sort of stuff. And then, so here are basically our three designs. We haven't quite chosen one yet. So this was the very first one, sort of, the app that the app developer came up with. And we decided, no, actually, we need to be funked up a bit, we thought. So we then went to the next one. And I've had lots of groups of different, very, very different young people, sixth formers, vulnerable groups, who actually decided what they thought about this one. A lot of them thought it was a bit too much like Candy Crush, but I thought that was a good thing. But and then the last one is at the end one, which is sort of combination between young people friendly and professional looking as well. So I think that's basically it. Questions at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Ali. One of the questions in the quiz, I think, will be, and perhaps do you know, how fast does sperm travel on ejaculation? Anybody know? 29 miles an hour, just under the speed limit. So as Ali said, you know, we want to make some things fun. We also want to kind of get young people to take things seriously as well. So one of the other areas that that we got involved with is that we have a young people's substance misuse premises where we live, and they asked us some time ago whether we would come down and perhaps do some sexual relationships education with the groups that they had coming in. So the nurse, who is now the yacht nurse, she goes into these premises once a week. She's really built up a good relationship with the young people there. And also, it was one of those young girls who never would have gone anywhere else. And she was persuaded to take a chlamydia test. And it turned out that she'd got gonorrhea. And I think that, you know, only 14 with gonorrhea. And I don't think, unless Amanda had been there, trying to persuade the young people to go and do these easy tests, that it would have been picked up for years. Young people that you know, live chaotic lives, then I think they are, sometimes you say, well, are we just kind of just feeding them? But if they lead chaotic lives, they will take the opportunity, if somebody's there, to talk. They are interested, as I say, am I bothered? Yeah, they are. But it has to be really on their terms a bit. So our relationship with the project, it's called Project 28, is vital, where, you know, a rapid response is needed. And that's the other thing that we do. People have got our phone numbers, they can text us, and we will go and respond to their needs. Often it is emergency contraception, but it isn't always the girl concern. Sometimes we have boyfriends phoning up and saying, my girlfriend really needs some help, can you meet her somewhere? So we try to be as flexible and as mobile as possible. The other thing that happens, particularly at clinics, is that we hang around, we play table tennis sometimes, we hang around. We also see what they're doing online.
And I think that pornography is such an issue. In one of the youth clubs I was working in, there was quite a high percentage of boys aged 11 that had really hardcore porn on their mobile phones. And I think statistics show that about 65-75%, I'm not sure which one, of young people aged 11 are accessing porn on a regular basis. Age 11. So I don't know how many of you have got children. Because on our skin, 77% of teenagers said that they think their parents are unaware that they watch porn regularly. When young people have televisions in their bedroom, you don't always know. They're so clever with kind of the way that they can handle technology. They don't always know, you know, we don't often know. Porn is generally free and unrestricted and uncensored. Also, young people's attitudes to what is considered an inappropriate image, for instance, is very different to what we might. And I think that, you know, we've had problems, just probably like you have, with sexting, which is, you know, where young people send inappropriate images of themselves or somebody else to each other. So we had an incident in one of our schools fairly recently where a girl was doing a blowjob on a boy in the school grounds, but away kind of around the corner, with another boy taking a picture of it. And of course, going back into school, lunchtime, it was all round the school. And that has, one, it is illegal for both the person taking the picture and also transmitting it around, but young people don't know that. But the devastating effect on that young girl was very, very difficult. Okay, what's the time? Okay, just one thing before we finish is that I want you halfway down here, I want you just to talk to each other. Does watching porn really have an adverse effect on young people's minds? The group at the back, what's the best way to identify children and young people who are vulnerable to grooming? Because that's some of the things that we're coming up against. And this group over here, can you give consent to have sex when you're drunk? And the small group here, what issues do we push under the carpet? 2 minutes, off you go, talk to each other. Addicted to watching porn very, very easily. Okay, what about what's the best ways to identify children, young people for grooming? Any ideas? Sorry? So how can you identify them? How can we work with young people so that we can actually identify those? I know you're people to make you watch.
Are they children of a certain age who don't want to be spending a lot of time on computers?
Yeah.
Don't you see change in behaviour?
Yeah.
No, strong wish.
Yes. Tired, yeah, missing school.
Yeah.
Okay, and
can you give consent to have sex when you're drunk?
It's a very big issue, but this is often that, and my experience is that sometimes girls haven't given consent and then the boy gets accused of rape. And it is a huge issue. So I think, again, education is kind of vital in terms of helping with this. And the last issue is, do we push things under the carpet? Anything you can think of? We just wondered, you know, transgender issues are quite, you know, quite big now. So that's the end of our presentation about our clinic that we run in Bath and North East Somerset. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.